It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Today we're going to be in the book of Romans. We have completed Romans last time we were together, but for the next week or so, we're going to go ahead and kind of do a survey of that book. So please open to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to kind of start there. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us by phone, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many great studies there. We've enjoyed them together, and so please that you would come and check those studies out, the Sunday messages there, as well as many of the radio programs. And so please, this be a good study for you. I hope that you enjoy it. And please, email us if you'd like to parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Now, I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles to Romans. And again, we're going to just start at the 14th verse, which is maybe kind of a strange place, you may think. But again, we're going to touch some very precious areas of this book that really touched my heart, and I hope they touched yours as well. And we got quite a little bit of reading that we're going to do, and so we're going to start first of all here with Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to just read a couple of verses 14 through 17, and then we'll begin with prayer and then start the study. Romans chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start this study today. Father, I thank and praise you that we have the opportunity to come together and study your precious word. Please that you would guide and lead us, just direct us through this study. It's a little bit different, Father, as we, instead of going verse by verse, as we have done through this precious book over the past year, now we're going to kind of just hit some of the highlights that has touched my heart, and it's so hard to do that. But we're going to do that over the next week or so and just kind of enjoy, try to remember what great studies that we had. So, Father, just guide and lead us now. Touch every heart, those who do not know you as their Savior. Father, I ask today that you would just penetrate their heart, just convict their heart of their sin, showing them that there is a way of life and joy and peace, and it's through you and your saving power, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They just need to come by faith, confessing their sin, trusting in your Son Jesus for their salvation. Please, that be done today. Now, please speak to hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read that again. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I'm going to continue to read to the end of the first chapter because it all kind of ties together. So just listen very carefully. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed unto them For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense for their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable and merciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That took a long time to read that chapter. It took us quite a while to go through that chapter when we studied it the first time. It appears like it took 1, 2, 3, 4. It took 4 weeks to study this section. And so we had a good time in doing so. But I want you to see some of the great things that we studied here. Paul has such a desire to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out to all the world. But he, here in this letter to Rome, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. I can't wait to come. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The 16th verse of chapter 1 tells us. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. One man has kind of broken this down like this. The gospel, the main aim of the gospel, the main goal of the gospel is, the gospel of God, is unto salvation. The scope of the gospel is to each and every one that believeth. All get to hear it if you just believe. And so first, the aim of the gospel is unto salvation. The scope of the gospel is to everyone that believe. And then as the end of this, it tells us that the revelation of the gospel is, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So we have the desire of the gospel, how the gospel is gained, how the salvation, those that can have salvation is through belief, And then what we gain is the righteousness of God. And so it is a desire and a joy to look at those verses of Scripture. And then from that's kind of verse 14 through 17, a desire that Paul had to get that gospel out. It should be a desire of every believer to get that gospel out and tell people of the saving power of the Lord Jesus. And then from verse 18 to 32, it really explains the guilt of the world, all those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wrath that's going to come. Folks believe, and as we read through some things that have become commonplace today and even accepted by the church. Now, commonplace to the world is one thing, but when the church begins to accept and even marry two men or two women, it is very clear here in the Word of God that God is against that, and He does not promote that. Is that a sin that can be forgiven? Yes. But you ask for forgiveness of that sin, and then you turn away from it. And so as we look and we find here the condition of man through ideas and the minds of people, we need to understand that the world, man, is naturally wicked. And so man's ways and man's plans leads to one thing, and there was the verse of Scripture here spoke of that, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. That doesn't mean that a person would go out and kill someone. It means that because they participate and do not repent of these things, they will die a death separate from God. In other words, they are going to wake up in the lake of fire. So if you attend a place and you call it a place of worship, it may have that name, but I'm going to make this very clear. Because if you agree with two women being together or marrying, worse than that, and then two men the same, if you agree with that and you go to a place and you say, this is where I worship, well, that may be where you worship, but you don't worship the God of this Bible. You worship the devil. Because that's the only other choice. That's the only group that enjoys and loves these things is the devil. And so if you're involved in that, I just ask you, well, it's the way I feel. No, the devil's put that feeling in you. You repent of that, turn to a righteous God, and He will bring you through that. But you're not born that way. You're born a man and you're born a woman. And as much as the devil and as much as the world has tried to remove that thought of a man and a woman, that there's no difference between the two, there's a lot of difference between the two. The roles are different. A man is made different. A woman is made different. Their personalities are different. There's nothing alike. And if you're a woman and you say, well, I don't prefer to be married to a man, well, then don't marry a man, but don't marry a woman. And it's very clear here in this Scripture text, and I'm going to back up a little bit here in verse 18, and it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, there's only one that can lead a person to unrighteousness, and that's the devil. So let's start right there, and then let's go on to the next. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We've talked about it many times on this program, that if you ever have heard one program, one single program, you know how to be saved and you will be without excuse. But God does not need this program. God has given, as it says here, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead. There is no excuse. You have no excuse for rejecting or ignoring the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'm down now to verse 22 in chapter 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what God calls you. If you have been taken in by the ways of the world, you've accepted abortion as a fact that it's okay. You've accepted homosexuality because it's okay. It's things have changed. The Word of God has not changed, and God knows what is good for you and what is right for you, and that is not good for you, and that is not right for you. And so you need to confess it. And if you're a church that has bought into that nonsense, you need to repent or close the door. I don't care what you do, or put on the front of your church Satan's sanctuary, because that's what it is. God's very clear here in His precious Word. The Apostle Paul has stated it so clearly that there is none without excuse. And what happens is man begins to think, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. There's many a fool that stands in the pulpit today because he is preaching another gospel. He is not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's what you've done if you have left the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have left His precious Word, you no longer study out of the King James. You've left it. You just kind of went your own way. And you have enjoyed then, and you have changed. You've taken God and you've brought Him down to your level. Well, you may have attempted to, and that may be the way you're acting, but God is not agreeing with that. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You want to know why some of this garbage is going on? Is because you have turned your back, you've turned your face away from God, and you no longer desire to serve Him. You no longer desire to accept His salvation. And so God has turned you over to a reprobate mind who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. That's what man has done today. That's what's in many of the churches today. And the churches has accepted these things. And look what's taken place. You wonder why that the church would accept such a thing. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. How clear do you need it? Do you think God accepts that? You think God wants that? You can't be saved. You can't be born again and live that life. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lusts one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Study that first chapter of Romans. Take a look at that first chapter. As we see that there is so many things there that show us the one that should be a hearer of the Word of God and should come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved, has rejected that free gift of salvation, has turned aside from it, has turned away from it. And because of that, because you turned away when God called, God has set you aside. Now, you want to wonder why there's so much wickedness in the world today? It is the absence of God. The country, our great country, this United States of America, seems to be trying, their leaders trying to do everything to separate government from God. Now, we are not to have a religion that controls the government, but we should have the influence, the wisdom, and the understanding of God spoken of and used every day when it comes to the running of this great country we have. And if we had that leadership, we would not have same-sex marriage. We would not have abortion. We wouldn't have those things going on. But it's because we have gotten so many folks that have fallen in to this apostate church and the ways of the devil, and you don't even know it. You say you pray to God. Please, I just, out of all the love that God has shared with me and shown me, I ask you that you turn from those wicked ways and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And He will give you the strength. No, I'm already saved. I've already asked Jesus into my heart. And He doesn't have a problem with this. Yes, He does. I'm not saying He does. God says He does. I ask you to save your soul and come by faith to the Lord Jesus and begin to walk through Him. Just read that first chapter of Romans. Just read the first chapter of Romans and see what it says. That's all I'm asking you to do. Look to God's Word and see what it says. Now, let's go on to chapter 3. Verses 9 through 25. We don't have time probably to even discuss this, but we're going to start through it. Chapter 3 of Romans. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poise of apse is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. For now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. And there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Do you realize, do you recognize that God, number one, his law, the law that he has given us, he knows we can't keep it. And so, but the reason we have it is so that we can see how guilty we are. And that shows us then how wonderful the grace of God is. How wonderful it is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You see, everything that we've just looked at in chapter 1 can be forgiven. We can be set free from those bondage of flesh and self and enjoy the walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes through all these things that there is no way that we can save ourselves in this first section. But then in the end, and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everyone. But being justified freely by his grace, justified freely through his by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our only Savior. Please come. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. He's our mercy seat. We have mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all comes through his precious shed blood. You know, the real question comes, and that is, have we, as Jews or Gentiles, is there any excuse? And of course, here he was, you know, speaking many times to the Jews. But is there any excuse? Do we have any excuse? We find here that there is no excuse. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what we found in those verses of Scripture. So the only way that we can be saved, the only way we can enjoy the Lord Jesus, the salvation and grace and understanding and love and peace, is by coming first to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you're involved in. I don't care what you have done in the past. If you'll just come today and call upon the Lord Jesus as your Savior, please repent. Turn to him and ask him to give you the strength and the power to have victory over the things of this world, that you can really enjoy a peace and a joy. And I ask you that you do that, that you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ today. Look to him today for salvation. I don't want anyone to die and go to hell. There's none, as much as God despises, and we hate these sins that the world has accepted. As much as we hate those, God loves the sinner. Now, that sinner doesn't have the opportunity or the should not have the desire to continue. The Spirit of God comes to live within you, and the Spirit of God hates those things. And so the Spirit of God, as you are saved, is going to bring you out of those things. So ask him for that strength. Ask him for the direction. Because, my dear friend, there's no one, not one, that is good enough to receive salvation, to have your sins forgiven by any works. It is all through and by the grace of God. My dear friend, we'll start here next week. What are you going to do about Jesus?